The following program is brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Harrisburg and the Catholic Communication Campaign. Visit us on the web at hbgdiocese.org.
Franciscan Media and this local station present American Catholic Radio, Journey with Christ, Faith, Worship, Witness. Production of American Catholic Radio is made possible by listeners like you. And now, here's our host.
Welcome to American Catholic Radio Presents Journey with Christ, Faith, Worship, and Witness, a program designed to help you know your faith so you can grow in your faith. I'm your host, Judy Zarek. One of the themes today in our show is Christian joy. First off, I want to make sure that we're talking about the word joy as a state of being that's not to be confused with the more fluid state of happiness. For example, I'm happy that my birthday's coming up and I'll get to have a party. But I'm joyful that my family and friends will share the love they have for me during that time. For me, there's a deeper feeling associated with joy that I can appreciate even if I'm not happy. I may be sad that I can't share my special day with all the people I want to, but I can still be joyful that they're a part of my life even if I can't spend time with them. I feel like happiness can come and go, but joy can be there whether I'm happy or not. As Christians, we should be able to feel joy even if we're surrounded by darkness or suffering. In his book, Answers, Catholic Advice for Your Spiritual Questions, Father John Bartunek says this about finding joy even when life seems hopeless. He says, first of all, none of us are alone in our sufferings, and the answer isn't to just put on a happy face. Mature Christians don't pretend that life in this fallen world is supposed to be all roses. And he makes a good point by saying that there's a reason that the church requires every public place of worship to prominently display a crucifix over the altar. Our journey home to heaven is a long and arduous journey, and during certain seasons of life, it can be really difficult. But Father Bartunek ends by quoting from the Gospel of John and says that Jesus tells us, "In the world, you have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." He goes on to say that we need to focus our attention on this fact that Jesus Christ has conquered the powers of darkness. Once we let it fill our hearts, then that deep joy Christ promises will stir within us, and no one will be able to take that away, no matter what's going on around us. In my Call to Witness interview, I'll speak with a Father Richard Rohr about his new book, Eager to Love, The Alternative Way of St. Francis of Assisi. Father Rohr explores the way he expresses his joy as a Franciscan priest and follower of St. Francis. In our Call to Worship interview, producer John Feaster will talk with Father Hilarion Kistner, another Franciscan priest who shares his experience of his calling as a Franciscan and how his faith and joy is revealed in everyday life. And Archbishop Leonard Blair from the Archdiocese of Hartford, Connecticut, will join producer Sharon Cross in our Call to Faith interview. We've got a terrific show lined up for you, so let's get started and see if you can guess this week's Saint of the Week.
Who am I? There are two ways I could tell my life story. The first would focus on all the struggles I endured during my years of service to and in the church. The second would focus on the service itself. I've decided it's best to give you a combination of the two, with the accent on the positive. I was born in Melbourne, Australia in 1842, to parents who had immigrated from Scotland. Maybe it was because of my own family's constant financial struggles. In any case, I grew up wanting to help the poor in whatever ways I could. I felt called to religious life, but I couldn't find an order of sisters that really suited my needs. With the assistance of a priest I had come to know and rely on as my spiritual director, I founded a new community of women, dedicated to educating poor children and doing various works of charity. As word got out about the new congregation, our numbers grew, but so did my problems. My priest friend proved unreliable in many ways, and I learned not to put so much trust in him. I got some support from local bishops, but not always. In fact, one bishop excommunicated me for insubordination, though he removed the charges against me and apologized less than a year later. Another insisted I leave his diocese. To put it briefly, a lot of the issues between various church men and me were about authority, control. I insisted that the congregation be governed by an elected mother general, answerable to Rome, not to the local bishop. In the end, Rome proved to be my best source of support. After a long wait, official approval of our congregation, including our central government, came from Pope Leo XIII. But let me get to the best part of the story. My sisters and I were able to offer social services that few, if any, government agencies in Australia could. We served Catholics and Protestants alike. We worked among the Aborigines. We taught in schools and orphanages and served unmarried mothers. Money, actually the lack of it, was a constant worry. We took our vow of poverty seriously and begged from door to door. But we were bolstered by our faith and the conviction that our struggles were, in fact, opportunities to grow closer to God. By the time I was approaching the end of my life, the congregation was thriving. I died in 1909. Pope John Paul II beatified me in 1995. Who am I? I am Blessed Mary MacKillop, founder of the Josephite Sisters, or the Sisters of St. Joseph.
Up next, Called to Witness, the part of our program each week that focuses on real-life Catholics who put church teaching into practice every day and share it. Father Richard Rohr is a Franciscan priest and member of the New Mexico province. He's the founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The center provides educational materials, events, and curriculum about the Christian tradition of contemplative practice and compassionate action. One of Father Richard's resources is his latest book, Eager to Love, The Alternative Way of Francis of Assisi, which talks about how Francis expressed himself with radical compassion, particularly for the socially marginalized. Father Richard uses the term alternative orthodoxy in his book.
That was a term that was used by some of us, sort of in-house Franciscan language, maybe in the more theological settings, that we recognize that Franciscanism was really, if we'd be honest, never mainline Catholicism. We knew that Francis, and the early Franciscans at least, very much were on the edge of the organized church. We were never considered heretics, but we emphasized different things. It wasn't, you know, defending dogma and doctrine like the Dominicans might have done. Our job was much more lifestyle, what we now call orthopraxy instead of orthodoxy. Not that we're against orthodoxy, but that isn't what we're really excited about.
Father Richard sees a great similarity in the way St. Francis and our current Pope Francis live out their faith.
Francis's starting place was suffering, not sin. He wasn't preoccupied with converting sinners, but he was much more in touch with human pain and deliberately placed himself there. It's timely because we now have Pope Francis who's doing the identical same thing. And, you know, he's talking about doing a loving life, not endlessly parsing vocabulary and doctrine, which really doesn't help the suffering of the world very much.
Another characteristic that links both Francises together is the fact that they can witness suffering, be a part of that suffering, and yet remain joyful people in their hearts.
When you've gone through the suffering and found your joy on the other side of suffering, that's deep joy. That's authentic joy. We see that in Francis, who was often called the joyful beggar or the joyful saint. And that's probably been one reason so many have been attracted to him, that so many of our saints appear, I'm not saying they were, but appear to be dour figures, you know? And that certainly wasn't true of Francis. And it is certainly not true of Pope Francis.
Father Richard is a globally recognized ecumenical teacher. He doesn't limit himself to just a Catholic audience. He seeks to empower individuals to live out their faith in service to the world. And he reaches out to people who are genuinely interested in taking their faith to another level and then sharing that faith with others.
We're very blessed to have so many people who want to come. But here's what we do. We choose people who already have a track record of some kind of voluntary service, caring for the marginalized, the outside, and have a plan for using our school to go back and do that. We're biased toward what I call multipliers, people who are not going to just put this as a checklist on their Catholic or Christian resume, but have a very specific plan to serve the world. And I must say, in the first two classes, boy, we've got some extraordinary people. And that's what I've tried to do, to preach the gospel, but to preach it in a way that you don't have to be a bona fide, signed up member to understand it. In other words, we can't just keep talking to ourselves. And when we use in-house language, that's what we're agreeing to do, you know, that if you don't have my definition of redemption, salvation, incarnation, our wonderful words, but, you know, the typical secular person doesn't have a clue what those words mean. And if we don't find a way to talk, to make the same point, but to make it in a language that they can even get excited about.
Spreading the good news to whomever will listen is what Father Richard will be doing when he sits down for a conversation with the internationally known talk show host, Oprah Winfrey. He'll share some of his wisdom on her talk show, Super Soul Sunday, that airs on her network. Make sure to look for Father Richard on Oprah's Super Soul Sunday, or find his resources at www.roar.franciscanmedia.com. For Call to Witness, I'm Judy Zarek. Our United States Conference of Catholic Bishops wants to help guide us in deepening our relationship with Jesus Christ and increasing our knowledge of the teachings of the Church. They invite us to journey with Christ in our faith, our worship, and our witness. Let's listen now as Archbishop Leonard Blair from the Archdiocese of Hartford, Connecticut, joins us and talks with producer Sharon Cross.
Today we're speaking with Archbishop Leonard Blair of the Archdiocese of Hartford, Connecticut. Welcome, Archbishop Blair.
Thank you very much.
Let me ask you, Archbishop, regarding sacramental participation, is it better when a parish has a school, or does it even make a difference?
I would like to say that it does positively, and I know that there are studies that show, for example, vocations to the priesthood and religious life are sometimes benefited by a Catholic school participation. Not always, but sometimes. But on the other hand, I would be less than honest if I didn't say that I think our priests do not notice necessarily a significant difference in Mass attendance.
Mm-hmm.
By that I mean that a lot of times we find, to our great sadness as priests, that people who make the time and effort to send their kids to Catholic school don't necessarily take them to Mass on Sunday. I mean, that's no secret, because people's attitude toward participation at Mass and the sacraments has just changed so radically that they don't feel that this is essential or important. And so I think we have to address that on the level of spirituality and faith, you know, and what the Holy Eucharist is. Now, I can be corrected if someone has a different study to, mm-hmm. to show it, but my experience, and I talking to priests, I think there's a grave concern about even people with kids in Catholic school
mm-hmm.
bringing those kids to Mass faithfully on Sunday.
You know, I've heard that sometimes non-practicing Catholics say that they left the church because they had a bad experience of a person or some event that happened at their parish that made them not want to go to church anymore, not belong to church anymore. Is there a way you think that we can maybe invite them back or ask them to try again to, you know, come back to being a part of a parish?
Well, here again, I would mention Pope Francis, because I think that's certainly what he is trying to emphasize. I mean, let's face it. It's a human church. It has always been since the time of the apostles. Among the 12, there was Judas who betrayed the Lord. There was Peter who denied him three times, and yet he became the first pope. Human weakness and sinfulness is always part of our situation. On the one hand, I want to say to people that, you know, your faith in God and your faith in Christ and in the sacraments has to be greater than any one person or situation that may have offended you or alienated you. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, the reality is that when this happens, it's a great sadness, you know, to think that somebody could be alienated because they really felt mistreated or something happened that was bad. So we want to do everything we can to welcome such people back and try the best we can to make some amends for anything bad that they experienced that led them to leave the practice of their faith.
What's a bishop's role in being a pastoral presence in your diocese?
Well, I think certainly the Second Vatican Council repeats what the great tradition of the Church is, and that the primary role of a bishop is to be a teacher of the faith. We are charged with handing on faithfully and completely the deposit of faith, you know, because unless you have the content of the faith, you know, you can't really understand or be united to Christ in fullness. But by the same token, the bishop also has to be somebody who tries to bring unity to the family of faith.
Thanks for joining us today, Archbishop Blair. For Call to Faith, I'm Sharon Cross.
Studies show that people who pray regularly and practice their faith are healthier and happier. I'm Bishop Ronald Gaynor. I want to invite you to experience a positive difference in your life by visiting your Catholic parish and encountering Jesus through the sacraments. Do it for your family, do it for yourself, and come home. Remember that God's mercy is and always will be there for you, no matter what your situation. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org to find a parish near you.
This is Franciscan Father Greg Friedman for the Catholic Communication Campaign with a message about faithful citizenship. Jesus shocked the righteous folks of his time when he hung out with sinners and those on the fringes of society. But in Jesus, we see the best of what a human being can be, laying down his life for those he loves. He's the foundation for our conviction that all human life is sacred. We bring this priority to our political choices this election year. For more, go to faithfulcitizenship.org.
Here's today's Catholic Treasure. How does the Catholic Church in the U.S. address the urgent needs of people around the world afflicted by war, persecutions, disaster, and poverty? The answer is CRS, or Catholic Relief Services. CRS is the official international relief and development agency of the Catholic Church in the U.S. Founded in 1943 by the U.S. bishops, its mission is, quote, to assist the poor and disadvantaged, leveraging the teachings of the gospel of Jesus Christ to alleviate human suffering, promote development of all people, and to foster charity and justice throughout the world, end quote. CRS works on five continents and in 98 countries through local offices and by collaborating with a network of global partners. When a disaster such as an earthquake, hurricane, tsunami, or typhoon strikes, CRS provides immediate assistance where needed, and then follows up with long-term encouragement so that the people in that particular area may begin to rebuild through their own efforts. Such a two-pronged relief approach is intended to promote secure, productive, and just communities where individuals can realize their potential. Within the United States, CRS helps to educate Americans about their moral responsibility to people around the world. It enables American Catholics to meet this responsibility through an annual collection held in each diocese at the parish level to raise funds, while at the same time increasing awareness of global problems of poverty and injustice. For over 70 years, from providing humanitarian aid in a time of disaster to developmental help over the long haul and education at home, an organization that has put the gospel into action is this Catholic treasure, Catholic Relief Services.
Today on Call to Worship, producer John Feaster talks with Franciscan Father Hilarion Kistner. Father Hilarion employs his gifts as a scripture scholar and teacher to help readers better understand and imitate Francis of Assisi in his dedication to living the gospel. After his ordination in 1955, Father Hilarion taught scripture to seminarians for 15 years. He's currently the editor of Sunday Homily Helps, and he continues to work for Franciscan Media in various capacities, even though he's technically retired. On weekends, you can find Father Hilarion celebrating Mass at St. Stephen's Parish in Cincinnati, Ohio, or once a month saying Mass at a nursing home and visiting the sick, or volunteering once a week at Our Daily Bread, a local soup kitchen where he buses tables after the noon meal. Through it all, he keeps a joyful attitude. John caught up with our busy friar and took a few minutes to chat with Father Hilarion.
Father Hilarion, thanks for being with us today.
Well, it's good to be with you too, John.
You know, joy is such a theme for Christians, and Pope Francis has really picked up on it as something that he would like to emphasize in the church today. We're kind of all looking at the concept of joy and what does it mean to us. And you're a Franciscan, another group of people who are joy-filled. What? Tell me about joy for a Franciscan.
I think we imagined Francis out in the woods playing his so-called violin and just jumping up and down and singing the praises of God, probably in French because he just loved the French language and helped him to become more exuberant and that kind of thing.
And you accept that as what was going on, huh?
Yeah, I accept that very much. And then also, of course, Brother Juniper, who was known to be the guy that was always joyful and bringing joy into the lives of others. So, yeah, it's important for us.
So these guys had kind of a carefree approach, even though they were quite serious about their Christianity. They could see that in a way that it wasn't a heavy burden, huh?
That's right. And that's what I think the Pope is trying to get across to us. It is a serious business, but the seriousness is that we need to be aware of ourselves and who we are and our relationship with God and allow that then to bring all the joy into our lives.
Yeah, I think, you know, each of us gets up in the morning and we're alive, huh? That's reason a lot to be grateful.
That's what they say. Although it's pretty hard sometimes to get out of bed.
Well,
but then we can laugh at ourselves and then we have joy again.
Don't you think gratitude and joy are kind of linked to each other?
Very much so. And there's a lot of things linked to joy. You know, this morning at Mass, we had the story of the Good Samaritan.
Uh-huh.
And the main point is how to be a neighbor. But it struck me then, in view of what we're doing right now, that priest and Levite, they passed by. They had to be sad characters. The one that had to be happy was the Samaritan because he helped the man who was in need. And I think that is also part, or big part, of what the Pope is trying to get across from the right before he even was elected, to know that he had the idea he needed to help the poor.
That's an interesting point, that you need to have some sense of peace, centeredness, a positive outlook toward the world and creation. And then you say, you know, look at people are in need. I need to be part of this. Help them. Huh?
I think he's trying to get that message across, along with probably other things too.
Well, do you think that when you look at Pope Francis and how he's, you know, ministered to the church in the last year or so, year plus, what do you think? What's the most evidence of joy that you've seen?
I guess the way he has accepted the little people, and by that I mean not only like he kissing the babies, but it was the poor people who seemed to get an audience with him wherever he went. And, of course, he went into the prison and washed the feet of people. And
I think that one of the pictures that I remember that seems so joyful, he met with three or four homeless guys, and one of them was holding a puppy dog. And I can only imagine that it was a very kind of a festive little interaction that they had. Huh?
That's right.
He wrote a pastoral message for all of us called Joy of the Gospel. It's kind of the thing that he's written up to this point. And I know he's working on other things, but right now we have this kind of document about joy. Does any of that kind of jump out at you? What's your favorite passage?
Well, I don't know if I'd say I have a favorite passage, but what strikes me is he's telling us the way to bring the gospel into anybody's life is above all by showing the joy that we have in our hearts because the gospel means so much to us. And so it's not so much, you better do this and you better do that. but it's more communicating the joy of God to people. And that'll do more for other people and one's own self than anything else. That's the mood or the tone I get out of his evangelizing.
For Call to Worship, I'm John Feaster.
This is Judy Zarek here to wrap up this edition of ACR Presents Journey with Christ. Calling for a return to family in the midst of a materialistic world, Marie Bellet, a mother of nine, writes authentic Americana songs that take the listener away from the distractions and conventions of pop culture and focus upon the importance of sacrificial love. She tells deceptively simple stories that make larger statements about hardship, heartbreak, redemption, and renewal within the real world. She says that she wants to tell others that sacrifice is not stupidity or victimization. It's noble. It's transformative. It's love. Here's Marie Bellet's song, Thy Will Be Done.
Well, it scares me so to think what you can take away. But I know that if I ask, I'll have the grace to say.
You can find more songs by Marie Bellet at www.mariebellet.com. And you can find ACR archive programs and more on the web at productions.franciscanmedia.org, where you can contact us and also meet our production team, Sharon Cross, John Feaster, Ron Riegler, Chris Holmes, Kim Wessendarp, Father Dan Anderson, and our executive producer, Matt Wilgoss. Music for our program was composed and arranged by Bobby Fisher. I'm Judy Zarek. Join me next time for another edition of American Catholic Radio Presents Journey with Christ, Faith, Worship, and Witness.
American Catholic Radio, Journey with Christ, Faith, Worship, Witness, is produced by Franciscan Media, a ministry of the Franciscan Friars of Cincinnati, Ohio. Production is made possible by listeners like you. You can donate to our mission or find American Catholic Radio archive programs and other resources at our website, franciscanmedia.org.